As I have mentioned, it is a blessing to have the staff that we do here at Tri-City Baptist Church. Appreciate so much Pastor Daniel Lorente and his ministry. He heads up our young adults ministry, and I have just appreciated so much his heartbeat for discipleship, his having the pulse of many of the issues that are really pertinent today and really challenging. In our summer growth series, one of the classes that's being offered right now is the sexual identity dilemma. And I had somebody today talking to me afterwards and how much they appreciate Pastor Daniel, his presentation, the knowledge of this. You know, he's getting the pulse of things that really weren't an issue when many of us were growing up. And yet they are today. We have to give Bible answers. And we have to be able to help those who are seeking. And so appreciate that. I think the fact that he is also a chaplain in the military is one of the benefits of that, because he's dealing with young men and ladies on a regular basis that are really struggling with how to handle life. And so we are thrilled to have him on our staff here. I appreciate having him as part of our pastoral team. What he brings to our meetings is helpful for me. The questions he asks, I appreciate his sense of humor. And we're thrilled with what the Lord is doing in his life. And I also want to mention that he is now Chaplain Major Daniel Lorente, that he has received that. He received the major position on July 26th, but was not able to share that information because of the military, top secret. But it is out now, and we are thrilled for him, for his faithfulness there, and for his ministry here. Pastor Daniel, come preach God's word.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. Before I begin, for all the young people, Google the phrase CD ripper. That will allow you to convert these CDs into digital audio so that you won't have to use Spotify. But thank you, Pastor Ken, for this opportunity. I think he likes me preaching in uniform because he gets to say, I need you to end by 7, and I just have to say, yes, sir. In civilian attire, I would have been like, we'll see. So, you know, but it's great. And, you know, thank you very much for the appreciation. I'd like to thank, you know, first of all, God for giving me this new rank. I appreciate my family as well, because they have sacrificed too. But I want to add you guys to that as well. You have been very supportive of what I do. You've been very supportive of Pastor Mike, Pastor Nathan, Pastor Jason. And, you know, we appreciate it knowing that there's a church that prays for us, that takes care of us. So it really helps. Although, however, I'm not sure about this new rank now, because we have a retired sergeant first class in the Army that just told me that for officers, our rank is inversely proportional to our intelligence. So as my rank goes up, my intelligence... I hope I don't disappoint the sergeant first class. So, you know, but thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. And yes, I ask you to pray for us in the chaplain corps. I've always told our leadership, one of the things we do as a chaplain, we advise senior leadership. So whether that's senior enlisted or senior officers, about how things are going on in their units, in their, you know, in the Air Force, our squadrons, our groups, and our wings. And we're able to give them that pulse. And I've always had to tell our senior leadership that the stressors that are happening now as we go in and out of the lockdown may be equal, if not worse, than when we were coming in to the lockdown. So we're definitely getting a lot of stresses that would not have been there if it wasn't for these lockdowns. You know, for some of you guys, I think it was great, the lockdown, because you got to hang out with your family more. I know I was. I get to ask my wife every day what's for lunch. So that has been very good for my morale. But we also know that some people don't work very well in those environments. And we're getting a lot of those. A lot of questioning how life should be, how they should move forward, and so on and so forth. And in addition to praying for us with what we do, the other thing too is we can get compassion fatigue, right? And it's not that we want that. In fact, I'd like to say most, if not all, the chaplains I know always want to take care of people. But just like in ministry and like anything else where you take care of people, you can get compassion fatigue. We hear this from our chaplains, we hear this from our doctors, our nurses, we hear it from a lot of people, because in the end it does weigh heavy on you. So pray for us. And like I said, I appreciate your support in what we do in our ministry. And I know I can always lean on you. And just as much as Pastor Ken announced my promotion, I definitely wanted to share that with you, because as my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you should be also hearing the blessings that are happening in my life. So thank you very much. So please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we will read from verse 1 to 8. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 8, and God's word reads, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you will be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we thank You for Your word. I pray now, may You touch hearts and may You touch minds. And I pray, dear Lord, may You persuade us to persevere. I pray, dear Lord, as Your word is preached, may You speak to me and through me, and may they be Your words. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look here in Paul's writing to Timothy, in fact, if you look at 2 Timothy, there's going to be a lot of correlation between either athletes or the military, which is kind of fitting to where we're at now since we just had the Olympics. And I didn't get to watch much of the Olympics this year, but I did get to see some highlights. And there's some events that I like to follow, but there are definitely a few people in the Olympics that really caught my attention. For one, being a Filipino myself, the Philippines got their first gold medal in women's weightlifting. Hey, we'll take it, right? We'll take it. Probably stronger than me anyway. So, Hidilyn Diaz won a gold medal in that. Another person that caught my attention is Sunisa Lee, which is actually representing the United States. She won gold in gymnastics, and she is of Hmong descent. And when I look further into her story, it turns out her mother was a refugee that came to the United States. And the reason why that sounds great to me is because, you know, their move over here has opened a lot of opportunities for her, including being part of the Olympics, which she probably would not have had if she stayed in their in the country where they were from. And so being able to persevere and be able to join the Olympics and to the point of winning the gold, you know, that's something to be proud of. And I'm glad that the United States, America, was able to provide that for her. The other one that caught my attention was Haley Hernandez. She was 17 years old. She's 18 now. And she's really looking forward to the 2024 Olympics as an Olympic diver. And what happened was, when she walked into where they were having trials or tryouts, she was just there to just, you know, get experience on competition. And she ended up being selected to participate in the 2020 Olympics. So here's this, you know, 17, 18 year old that was just there to just, I just wanted to see what it's like. And next thing you know, she's in the Olympic stage. And she did so well that she ended up in the top 10, which means there's a lot of things to look forward to in this young lady in the next coming Olympics. So, which is great. And one thing too, you know, I also like track events. Back in high school, I ran the 400. I don't know how well I ran it, but, you know, I enjoy track events. And America won the 4x400. And, you know, you see these athletes and how much they've dedicated their life to what they're doing. You know, in fact, even if you did not win, you can see the dedication right away of these athletes as they go to the Olympics. I wish I had their muscles. I wish I had their endurance. But you can see that in order to get to that stage in the Olympics, they had to dedicate so much of their life just to be able to go there. And the thing is, just to get to the Olympics, whether they win or not, is already an honor. And what I like also about these athletes that you see in the Olympics, there's also no quitting, even if they're not going to win. I got to see this the other day also in watching some highlights of the Olympics. They had is it canoeing when there's two people, or is it kayaking? One of those. But anyway, there's two people who row. Okay, I'm not sure. I think this was the first time actually they had it for women in this Olympics. And you see the race, right? They already kind of have this thing where they already assume based on, you know, past competition, which country will most likely will win. And they start rowing. And then you see the Japanese team. And they're really not going to win this, right? They're really not going to win. I mean, you're just watching it and you're like, they should just, you know, just stop at that point. Right? But no, they kept rowing, they kept rowing, they kept rowing, and no matter how far that distance was, they were going to finish that race. Because that's what they were trained to do. Of course, they were trained to win, but regardless of what happens, they were trained to finish that race. I'm giving you all these examples of the Olympics because there is an expectation for Christians to run that race. There's an expectation that we train. There's an expectation that we get stronger, that we improve. There's an expectation that we run it no matter what happens. There's an expectation for us to finish. Paul, at this point of this epistle, was already saying, well, I'm most likely at the end. Okay, I'm most likely at the end. This might be it for me. But he is convinced, because he knows, and he knows what he has done, that he is able to complete the race. That he has run the race. And he needs to finish the race. So much so that he's encouraging all of you to do the same thing. He already knows there's a crown for him. Not out of being boastful, maybe boastful in the righteous sense. But he knows what he's completed. He knows what he's achieved. He knows what he's trained for. He knows what he can do. And he knows he's done it for the Lord. And he's able to say, I ran the race. He ran it well. So much so that he knows he will get a crown. And he is challenging those reading this epistle, starting with Timothy, that this is something Christians should expect. But he also highlights in the beginning of this chapter that there's also a problem. The problem of distraction. The problem of personal desire. The problem of letting matters that should not matter get in your life, that now it impacts how you race. I like that Japanese team who fell behind. Because in the distraction of being in last place, at least for me, I would have been like, those guys are way ahead. We're not going to win. This is not even the actual race. This is just a heat. Right? This is just to get into the actual race. You know, maybe we can just, you know, grow leisurely at this point. Right? Just go see the sights. Oh, okay. We're going to lose anyway, so I didn't notice that bird that sits over there. All right? Or, you know what? Why don't we just stop, actually? Right? Or, you know what? I'm going to make a point of how terrible this race is. We'll start rowing backwards. How about that? Okay? We'll just not do this anymore. Right? No, they were focused on finishing the race. They were trained to do what they're doing. They're trained to do it the best that they can. They've worked hard. They will finish this race. Because if they did anything otherwise, you would say, well, that's ridiculous. Why did they even bother joining the Olympics? And you're right, that would be ridiculous. But if you even take what Paul is teaching here, if you have Christians who get easily distracted, we should find that ridiculous. If you yourself are being distracted by so many things that it impacts the way you're supposed to do the ministry, sharing the gospel, loving people, worshiping God, if any of those things distract you, that should be considered ridiculous. Because you don't expect athletes who were trained to run a race to not do what they were trained for. There's an expectation of Christians, and if they don't meet that expectation, that should be ridiculous as well. More than just looking at athletes, Paul actually also uses the military. He uses the military a lot of this, actually, right? So he's using athletes, he's using the military. Because there's an expectation there that should be met, and Paul will use that for Christians, that there's an expectation for you that you need to meet. In fact, you see that right now in front of you. For those in the military, you actually have some people back there who, the moment they saw me, they knew that there's an expectation of what they see here, right? I'm wearing the uniform. You see right now it says my name, so they expect me to be a person, okay? On the other side, it says United States Air Force. So there's an expectation that you must be in the branch of the United States Air Force. Yes, that is correct. You see this rank right here, and they're like, you must be an officer. So you're probably leading people, right? Not only do they expect me to lead, they also expect that that's an 04 rank. So you're not a junior officer anymore, right? It's kind of like with our lieutenants. We call them LTs, right? Lieutenants, LTs. And even for them, there's an expectation. We expect them to be lost all the time. Okay? In fact, we say you can't spell lost without LT. Okay? But in saying that, which means the expectation is for us who are more senior to train these junior officers. Right? So if I fail to do that, they will look at me like, that's ridiculous. That's part of your job. So if you have a lieutenant that can't seem to find their way, guess what? We're blaming you in that process. So there's an expectation of me to lead and take care and mentor and supervise these young lieutenants. In fact, that's where I'm at today. If anything else, what this rank has done is just give me more work to do while sitting down. So I sit down more these days. But anyway, that's the expectation. On top of that, I have a job patch. I know the rank kind of, the collar kind of covers it, but you see this cross. So that means they know I'm not a flyer or a pilot. They know I'm not in maintenance. They know I'm not in civil engineering. They know I'm not security forces. When they see this cross, they go, not only are you a major, you're a chaplain. So that means you have certain jobs you have to do. Okay? You also see the patches on the side of my shoulder. It tells you who I'm assigned to. Okay? And it also shows you which country I represent, which is sitting right there. So in other words, the moment you see me, there are expectations you have of me, especially for those in the military. And if I don't meet those expectations, they will view me as ridiculous. Why are you even serving? Sometimes we call those guys duffel bags, because that's how they look like. Like, have you seen a duffel bag when it's like scrunched up? Doesn't look very straight and fit, right? So those are some of the nicknames we have for military that can't figure stuff out. They're duffel bags. They don't look right. And that's our term of endearment for them, but that points out that if you have military that doesn't meet expectations, you're just ridiculous. And same thing with athletes. If you have an athlete that's not fit, that's not strong, that doesn't have the right diet, that doesn't have the right apparel, you will find that ridiculous. In fact, if you look at ancient Greece, when they did their Olympics, and this is a lot of stuff what Paul's alluding to, it's more than just winning a competition. You also have to follow the rules. You can't be fake. You can't be cheating. We try to do that in Olympics today by making sure people don't dope up or do things they're not supposed to. In other words, it's more than just the competition. It's also what you do and how you get to the competition. It's how you run. It's how you train. In fact, in the old Olympics, they ran unclothed. They ran naked. To show furthermore that there's nothing that they're using or doing that will give them an advantage, an unfair advantage against their competitors. Because also back then, in being part of the Olympics, is also seen as preparation to join the military. So you don't want someone running the Olympics, joining the military, and turns out they can't do what they're supposed to do. So they have to meet that expectation. And Paul here is telling Christians, there is an expectation of you as well. But here's the problem. There's a lot of distractions. In fact, he looks at that in a lot of 2 Timothy, right? He's trying to encourage, first of all, what he has done. Like, he also tells it in the beginning. When you look at chapter 1, verse 7, he doesn't have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. He says that's what he has. It's part of what allows him to do what he's doing. In verses 11 to 14 of chapter 1, he's saying that there is suffering, but Christians should be convinced that the faith they have in Christ will protect the thing that has been entrusted to them until the day they have to give an account. If you go skip over to what we just read in chapter 4, it's the reason why Paul is able to say, I will get a crown. Because he is able to make that account of what he has done. And the faith that he has in Christ, he knows that that faith, that he will have the power to endure and to hold on to the thing that was entrusted to him, which was the gospel. And that he will be able to work and also be able to give an account. That accounting is important. Going back again to the military, we have to give an account. We have to give an account on how much armaments we have. We have to give an account on how many people show up or not show up. That's that whole present and accounted for. If there are 50 soldiers and 49 show up and you don't know where the one is, that's present and, you know, that's not present and accounted for. There's an accounting that needs to happen. And the thing is, that's important for commanders to know. We need to know what our troop strength looks like. Because what is the point of the military? We're there to prepare to go to war. And if a commander is not able to report the proper troop strength, then we won't be able to go to war, at least not with the expectation of winning. Same thing with athletes. How many reps have you done? How much weight have you lifted? What did you eat? Did you take anything you shouldn't have? Do you sleep enough? Do you wake up at the right time? You have to give that accounting, because if you don't give that accounting, guess what? You are not competing. So same thing with us Christians. Are you able to give an account? Are you able to give an account that allow you to be profitable in the ministry? And if you're not profitable in the ministry, what are you going to do about it? Are you able to reach out to another Christian and say, hey, I am not ready? It's kind of like Pastor Jason's message several Sundays ago, when he talked about the armor of God. If your armor is not on correctly, are you able to say, my armor is not on right? Are you able to say, help me put my armor on? Or are you just going to continue to be distracted and be detrimental to the ministry? You go over to chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. This is where Paul makes a correlation of military and athletes. He basically says that for military members or soldiers and athletes, they do not let matters of everyday life distract them. They are focused in achieving their goals or achieving their mission. You know, when we went to training, so for us it's OTS, you know, basically our basic training. What's great is they bus you to a place where the matters of life will not distract you. Right, you go there, you get off the bus, you get yelled at, you get to move stuff, you get to do all these other things, and you're not reading the news, you don't know what's going on, even your own family, like you get to check in every now and then, but like the washer breaking, you're not going to know until the next time you speak to your wife. Right? So the matters of the world are not known to you. Because the point of that training is that you will take the time to get to know what the military is at a basic level. You get to learn how to march, know what orders look like, you know the rank, you know all these things. And the expectation is after weeks of training, when you go back out into the world, you will be able to continue to perform your duties regardless of what distractions are out there. Like I remember one time, I had to march our flight. I don't know what that's in the army. A platoon or basically, you know, like 16 people. Okay? So I had to march them back to our room. And after lunch, we got to put them out there, and you know, my role is to get them formed up, arrange them according to height, and then right when they're ready, I give the orders to forward march. Right when I'm about to say forward march, this captain just starts yelling at me, "Did you do this? Did you do that?" And I have to respond each and every time while giving orders. "Yes, sir. Forward march. Yes, sir. Right face. No, sir." Right? And I'm like, I'm doing this, and because if I don't respond, guess what's going to happen? You're not responding to me? Well, guess what you're going to do? Right? There's this distraction that takes place. And you're under the pressure, under the gun. And if you give the wrong order, which by the way, I've done many times, I almost ran my flight into the wall. And guess what? They still have to follow my orders if I run them into the wall. Right? Because they also have to show that they can follow orders, even if it's detrimental. That's how we're being trained. So, you're getting yelled at, and then the whole point there is, because guess what? If you do go to war, and I don't know why chaplains would go to war, they won't trust us with shooting at anything, right? But, we can probably throw a Bible at somebody. But anyway, the point is, under pressure, we should be able to perform. So we get trained to do that. Because the expectation is, once we go out into the world, regardless of what's going on around us, we should be able to perform. None of these outside things matters. Like what do we have today? Social media, the news, politics, economic crisis. People who speak way louder than other people. People who are ready to just take away things. All these things happen, and we're expected in uniform to keep pressing, following orders, and meeting our objectives for mission completion. And we can't let this distract us, because if it distracts us, what could be the end result? Basically, our national security could be compromised, and I know this sounds very cliche, but if that is compromised and our defense is compromised, that could trickle down to you. But we willingly, voluntarily put on this uniform so that doesn't happen. Because we need to do that mission. And in doing that mission, we cannot be distracted. Similarly for athletes. If the goal is to participate and the goal is to win, guess what? They're going to have to give up certain things so that they will not be distracted, so that they can meet their goals. How is that any different for Christians? It's not. That's the point Paul is making. It is not. You have Christ. He already says He has all power. And He's given you the command to go. He's given you the Holy Spirit so that His instruction will keep coming down to you. And if you're easily distracted by whatever's going on, whatever you think is right, because you've decided to exercise your personal judgment, that's a distraction. And if you're distracted, then you should find that ridiculous, because you are not meeting the expectation of what a Christian should be. In fact, recently, we had this, I know I'm giving a lot of military examples, but so is Paul, so that's fine. We just had a situation where this lieutenant colonel just ran into this enlisted individual who had an AirPod. Sorry, I don't have an Apple because I can't afford one. Who has an AirPod on one ear, carrying a bunch of stuff on their right arm, and just kind of like walking sloppily. And then you have this lieutenant colonel walking, and notices that this airman is not recognizing who he walked by. So the colonel turned around and said, "Excuse me, Airman, what is going on here? Didn't you notice that I just passed you?" "Oh, sir, I was on the phone." And the lieutenant colonel was like, "Are you new here?" He goes, "No." Well, that's even worse. Right? Because first of all, you're not supposed to have anything in your ear. And on top of that, if you are carrying something on one side, you shift it to the other side so that your right arm is free in case you need to render a salute. And this person has been trained to do that. Right? All of us have gone through training, basic training. That is basic. And you have an airman who looked ridiculous. Why? Because the airman let himself be distracted by matters that are not important. And now because of this, this lieutenant colonel now will talk to this squadron, which basically is built up of several flights, basically about 75 people in this case, right? Or for the army, a company, I think. And he ends up addressing and saying, like, he gave that example and he said, "What is wrong with this picture?" as he gave that scenario. And one airman decided to raise their hand and say, "Sir, well, you know, when you're just kind of distracted, maybe you just forget what's going on." And that definitely did not go over well. And now the lieutenant colonel goes, "Wrong answer. You're supposed to be situationally aware. You need to know what's going on around you." And he gave the example that when he's outside carrying a bag, he will shift whatever he's carrying to the left, because he never knows when he has to render a salute, whether because someone is saluting him or he needs to salute somebody else. And that's not about, you know, being proud or bragging. That's just customs and courtesies. It's what we do. It has nothing to do about does he earn the respect or not. No, that's just what we do. On top of that, you make sure your uniform is put on right. Are your laces tucked in? Is your uniform wrinkled? Do you have threads and different stuff sticking out? Are the patches in there correctly? Because when they're not, it goes back to that term I gave you, duffel bag. And you will be ridiculed and most likely disciplined. Because that is not how you're supposed to conduct yourself. Just as much as we find humor or appalled by this behavior, when Christians act the same way, we should have the same reaction. Because we are supposed to run this race. Paul is very sympathetic, however. If you go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he does say, "Understand that there are days that are coming when this will be difficult." And he gives a list of all these different things. And he ends with, "People will love only themselves, loving pleasure rather than God." It is difficult because we are surrounded by that. We're surrounded with wealth that people have gained that would be nice if we had it. We're surrounded by work that people do that we would like as well. We're surrounded by people who just say whatever they want. Well, guess what? We want to say whatever we want as well. I know I do. I want to have a voice as well. There's so many things going on right now that could so easily distract us. And it's only going to get worse. As Pastor Ken said, in my counseling as a chaplain, it definitely shows there. As people walk into my office, the problems get worse and worse and worse. To the point where some of the conversation that we get, and by the way, we are a non-reporting helping agency. What that means is, whatever is said to us, regardless of what it is, even if it's criminal, we don't report. The idea there is to give military members and their families the ability to be able to at least confess. And the reason why they want chaplains with seminary degrees or equivalent is because the concept is we would have the ability to properly counsel. And now we're getting to the point where people so easily and so quickly question if their life should continue. I mean, when I started out this career, The worst thing was like, oh, my supervisor won't listen to me. I get some ridiculous order, or, you know, I'm having some financial trouble. But now it gets to the point where part of the conversation ends up wondering, should my life continue? Because I can't see a way out of this. Resiliency is down. But this is where it's great, because it allows us, especially us Christian chaplains, to say, well, the problem is you're finding your resiliency in the wrong place. I get a chance to say, well, you know what, Airman? I have peace and hope. Would you like to know what that is? Because I'm going through the same thing as well. Not everything in my life goes well. I'm not always strong. I'm not always resilient. I'm not always caring. I'm not always compassionate. I'm not always wanting to face the day happy or joyful. I get angry, I get sad, I get all these things. And you know, sometimes the question is, Chaplain, why are you so peppy? Right? Is it because of all the popsicles you hand out to us when it's hot? Is it all the cold drinks that you have us offered? All the muffins, all the cookies, and all the free books, which we do have. So people like coming to us because we have free lollipops and all this stuff, right? Like, what makes you so cheerful? And that allows me to say, because I have a faith in Christ that gives me the power to endure. And this same Christ has entrusted me with a hope, with a peace, with a gospel, a good news that allows me to look forward to a better future. But you know what's even great about this? I can share it. It's not mine alone. You can have it too. And it will give you a peace that passes all understanding. That's what you're seeing in me. Because many times when I go through problems, what's the human rationale? Either step on other people's toes, get what you want when you can get it, or, like the sad thing that I'm getting right now, maybe I just should not continue on with my life. Because that makes sense to them. Because if you have nothing, if all you have is this life, and you have nothing to look forward to, then maybe that is the correct answer. Why would you continue life? But because I'm able to show that there is Christ in me, I am able to keep going. And now I have the opportunity to share that. Because that's one of my objectives as a Christian. Right before this passage that we read is 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where Paul says there is a book, there is scripture that is profitable for your life in every aspect of it. And in that gives you the hope that you need in order to endure. Christians, are you a duffel bag? I hope not, but if you are, I hope that you're able to assess and make an account so that you will be effective in Christ's ministry. If there's anyone in here who does not have Christ in their life, know that there is a way to endure all these things in life, because there is a Christ who loves you. And a Christ who's willing to give you peace that passes all understanding. And what's great about this, all you have to do is receive Him. Let us pray.